The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Signal Hour. I am one of your hosts. I'm the co-host, Chris Martinson, and I'm here with Evie Botello, still TB named.
We're married, but I haven't changed my name yet. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. This afternoon's podcast is going to be a special one, actually.
Well, it is, because I need to take some time off to do some various things that I got in my back pocket here. We're creating something called a resilience roadmap back at Peak Prosperity, and it's going to take a lot of my time. It's time for people to become more resilient, more prepared, and I just need to, I need a little extra time to get that done. I need a lot of extra time. So we're doing that. By the way, because we know that we're so heavily, heavily censored here on YouTube, they really limit the reach of this. And I know this because I have somebody behind the scenes who's very deeply enmeshed in it. Thank you, Nanat. He does fantastic work. He and his team.
He does such great work.
Such great work. But he gets to peer at the inner sort of algorithm to see how things are. And guess what? I've had a boot on my throat since COVID for talking about things that, like, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, vaccines, things like that, all of which was just pure common sense. Mm-hmm. And all of which turned out to be actually
true.
More right than not, turned mm-hmm. out to be true. Mm-hmm. And of course, got censored for that. But now things are really breaking. So we're going to talk about, I think, one of the most explosive pieces of anything that's come out in a long time, which is RFK Jr. in a cabinet meeting saying that HHS now has evidence for what has been causing the autism epidemic in our children in the United States. He's going to be releasing that. He said, quote, it's interventions. Make of that what you will. We'll see what that is. And we're going to talk about just how crazy people are still about this whole COVID thing. Mentally ill is the only way I can put it. Totally resistant to data, totally unable to process the new information as it comes in, clinging to their wrong and outmoded and outdated beliefs, despite mountains of evidence of people dying suddenly, of
cancers,
injuries, cancers,
all sorts of health issues. And the list is very long of complications from that. But if you are listening to this, definitely, if you enjoy our podcasts, feel free to give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel. We need to get this information out to as many people as we can, because Chris and I both believe, and everybody at Peak Prosperity along with us believes, that we're coming into some hard times and that we need to have as much resilience in our lives as we can. And getting this message out there to other folks helps them to prepare and get their family into a good place where they're safe and well cared for. And that's what we want for everybody. So please, please do that for us if you could, and help us beat the censors, basically.
Wow, it's been a long run. Listen, I don't know what happened to my country, but it's solely being revealed now as completely defective and unable to attend to basic things like truth, justice, liberty, health, you know, making ourselves stronger, not weaker. And by the way, what we're not doing as a nation right now on energy policy is the big story that nobody's talking about, but we will in 2 years when everybody finally catches up to it. So Evie, I had a chance to, I was interviewed by Craig Hemke of Turd Ferguson's Metal Report, right? TFMR. And he said, this just yesterday, and he said, hey, Chris, you know, to prepare for this, I listened to one of our first interviews we did together, which was back January 25th, 2020. Mm-hmm. 'Cause he'd seen that blast I put out on the 23rd about this thing called COVID. He's a smart guy. He's a fast adjuster. He catches up quickly. So he said, hey, I listened to it. He said, I was shocked. You had almost everything exactly right. 5 years back in retrospect, you said, well, we're going to have this thing. It's going to, you know, I asked you, what percent chance do you think it spreads and creates trouble for the world? And you said, well, with a putative early R0 of 2.9, the chance is 100%. He said, well, then what happens? I said, well, the first wave or two are going to be bad, mm-hmm. but then it's going to somehow mutate and it's going to become less bad. But I don't know if that's in 1 year or 2 years, but that's sort of what we're looking at.
Wow.
And he said, I just had it all nailed. He said, how did you do that? I said, well, I have a Comcast connection and a functioning brain. But that's how I
there
work.
There it is. The functioning brain
well,
part.
Well, that is
can't
the thing.
Be discounted.
I just add stuff up and I don't know what the truth is, but I always know what the bull is. And if you can smell the BS, then at least you can begin excluding things around that. So today we're going to discuss some BS. And it's pretty strong.
Which is not for the faint of heart, right? It's hard to see what BS is going on in the world and to live with that and to be with the grief that comes along with that. Like, what's happening to my country? What's happening to the people I love? Like, you know, it's not easy.
No, it's not easy. But the model I have that I think that we both follow here is, first, you have to know, even if it's hard, you have to know what's going on.
Right. You got to be honest with yourself.
And then you can begin to make some plans like, well, what do I want to do? How do I want to live my life? All of that. So that's why I started the Signal Hour with you. Is what for me is I like informing people because we need to know just how bad things are so that we can decide, are we just going to sit back and let that be? Are we going to hope for something different to happen?
Right.
Or are we going to plan and prepare as if it ain't fixing itself and it doesn't matter who we vote
in? And it's up to us.
Right.
Right. No, and I do hope, Chris, that, you know, maybe we can continue this in the future. I don't know if it's going to be alive like it has been or if we would pre-record it and then release it, because I don't know if the algorithm treats it the same. But
yeah.
I mean, well, I know you put a lot of effort into these. So,
of course, I do everything. But I have to get this resilience roadmap out, because all the signs I'm reading say, look, we need to be prepared. And when I say prepared, I'm not talking bullets, beans and bunkers. Yeah, yes, have those, but that's just like a tiny thing. You need your financial resilience more than anything, because guess what? This isn't going to be sort of a Mad Max lights out collapse. That never happens, right? What's going to happen is that the bottom 75% are struggling, and then the bottom 85% will struggle, and then the bottom 95 and 99, and the top 0.1% won't care. Mm-hmm. Same as it's ever been.
Yep.
So in COVID, what did we learn? We learned that if you had financial freedom, if you could say, go pound sand, if you had basically even a limited pile of FU money, you had the choice. And almost everybody I knew who ended up not getting the COVID jabs did so because they could afford to do that.
Mm-hmm. And almost nobody that I've ever met has said, I wish I had gotten the shot. Nobody.
Who hadn't gotten the shot. So, yeah, I wish I'd had it.
Like, nobody was like, you know, I really regret not getting it. Like,
but
it
to
just didn't
have
happen.
That lack of regret, you need to have that financial freedom. So that's part one.
That's so true.
Part two is we talk about emotional and spiritual resilience, both really, really, really important, because, you know, if you're just going to collapse or get demoralized or, you know, not have that inner fortitude, it doesn't matter how many bees you have in your basement or how much money you have. Won't matter. Right. Mm-hmm. And we already see people really fragile. We don't know why. We have some hypotheses. It could just be our circuits are burned out from this constant fear campaign that they're running at us all the time. Still to this day, it doesn't matter if it's Trump or Bush or Obama or under Biden, who wasn't running anything but the people running it. We've been subjected to this horrifyingly just constant fear campaign, fear and anxiety. And I think it's because it keeps us in this constant state of, I don't know what, needing to take more Disney trips and voting for miscreants
and taking more pharmaceuticals
buying more pharmaceuticals. But it's a thing. It's been a thing. So we talk about that, but your social capital, how much of that you have built up, it's going to be very important how your future goes. So those are all the kinds of things, Evie, we're going to be talking about, of course, at our summit, which is coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I'm so excited for that.
Hampshire.
It's going to be great.
That's going to be great. If you haven't got your ticket and you'd like to come, please come.
Open for a little bit.
It is. We can, because we have to order food, they let us add people right up to about a week before. So it's in that zone. All right.
Yeah, join us if you feel inclined.
Please do. So I want to turn to this, Evie. This wasn't Australia's finest moment. There are a couple of, how should we describe these ladies? A couple of Australian ladies. They're complaining about, because Joe Rogan, that they're saying that he should be forced to pull down controversial COVID episodes because he dared to talk to doctors like Peter McCullough, Asim Malhotra, right? Yep.
Wait, like more recent things that he did with them or from before?
No, this is all very recent.
Wow.
Let's listen up.
I do not think some episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience are okay. I have issues with a lot of the people that Joe Rogan has interviewed, most specifically, I do not like the fact that he reaches into alt-right groups and platforms people with very racist, very hate-filled ideas. I hate that about his podcast, and I really do not like the idea that it is so widely supported sometimes. Mm. However, if we are sticking to the issue of these two particular podcast episodes that people are so upset about recently, My main question is, what opinions deserve a platform on Joe Rogan Experience? And the main hurdle for me, whenever someone shares an opinion,
I have an idea. Whichever one he decides.
Oh, it's his show.
To talk about on his
no
show.
No way.
That's a crazy thought, but that's where I'm leaning on this one. I think those are the right things he gets to have on his show. But let's carry on, because she knows, this woman knows better.
Candid on a podcast. Karen Sheila's.
Is this person qualified to share the opinion that they have? Is this person considered an expert in their field?
Is this person considered an expert in their field? Well,
Peter McCullough is.
She's not an expert in anything. I can tell you that right now. So yeah. We can stop listening.
Okay. True.
I mean, but you get the energy here, right? This is hall monitor energy, as I put it, right? These are grades, you know, junior high Karens never sort of emotionally move beyond that moment of thinking that their opinion actually matters about things because they feel a certain way about it. So let's keep going. This is really priceless.
Two episodes that have caused this furore, they are actually concerning two people who I would deem experts because they are a cardiologist and a vaccine scientist. So it's an interesting conversation because although we have two experts who are very educated and are very informed in their fields, they are two experts who disagree with about 99% of their peers who are also experts. So we kind of have a situation where if we had all these experts on this particular topic in a room, 997 are saying one thing and two or three experts are saying another. And how the hell do we deal with that?
Yeah. And then a lot of people might turn around to that and say, okay, well then clearly it's a freedom of speech thing because clearly we need to hear from everyone, from all of the experts in the room. And I agree with that to some degree, but then perhaps it's not as much about freedom of speech as it is about privilege of platform, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is a huge platform and perhaps people like Brené or Joni Mitchell or Neil Young aren't arguing that these experts shouldn't be heard, but that they don't want them to be heard on Joe Rogan because that platform is perhaps not proportionate to how many other people in the community agree with them. And I think it's very easy in these conversations for them to be flattened. I mean, I know we say that with like almost every conversation we have, but I do think bite-sized headlines can really flatten issues to be like, well, yeah, generally we need to know what almost every expert thinks, but make our own decisions about.
So all this stuff about experts, right? That, you know, oh, it's the experts. Listen, I hate to say this, if you haven't figured out by now that the experts often don't know anything about what they're talking about, they have enormous conflicts of interest, particularly in the medical side. You do not have a room temperature IQ and you should not really be opining on anything at that point in time, right? If you haven't figured that out by now, the experts are anything but expert. And we're about to, I mean, if you haven't learned that good and hard, you have a learning curve, but it's flat. Okay.
They're so uncomfortable with like opinions that are outside of their own. They just can't tolerate them.
Yeah. So I can't carry on. But I think George Orwell kind of nailed this when in this particular example.
It was always the women and above all the young ones who were the most bigoted adherents of the party, the swallowers of slogans, the amateur spies and nosers out of unorthodoxy.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ouch.
Ouch. George reaching deep into the future to drop a bomb on these ladies here because he nailed it.
Well, because we're social more so than, you know, than males in that way. I think we're the connectors and we are
keepers of the centroid.
Yeah, we're holding our tribe together. And so we're paying attention to what people are saying and taking that the temperature of the room or supposedly maybe a little bit more than men do. But yeah. He's not wrong, I don't think.
No. And I see we had, you know, quite a bit of
amen
support for
Joe Potter. Women love to be Karens, LOL.
Yeah.
I guess if you don't have enough on your plate and you just start picking at stuff.
Well, if I was going to give some advice to these ladies, it would be this. This is my advice.
Try being informed instead of just being opinionated.
Yeah, okay, well, let's see if we can do some let's do some informing. Ready? Let's do some informing. Okay. How about this?
Australians aged in their 30s and 40s are experiencing unprecedented and in some cases world-leading rates of 10 different types of cancer, and scientists are desperate to understand why.
Well, not desperate enough to look at that one thing.
Right.
Not that desperate because they're experts, right? You know, the experts are, they don't know what's causing it, but they're sure it's not that one thing.
Right.
Right.
That's funny.
No, but this is awful. That like you should be like, this is what, this is worthy of concern. Say, hey,
yeah,
you know what? Our experts are completely baffled. So maybe we should be listening to anybody who's got an idea at this point. That would be a very normal thing to do. If your experts are completely stumped, like if you have a pilot that says, I don't know why the engines won't restart and they're frozen, maybe you should find somebody who's willing to try a couple extra things, right?
Right, right.
You know?
I find it bizarre, though, that people are stumped about why things could be changing. And that's the biggest thing that's happened to the entire human population in the last 5 years.
Well, this just seems so brain dead obvious to me. How about this one? How do they have no concerns or curiosity about this at all? This comes from the Actuaries Institute in Australia. The actuaries, these are probably,
I don't know what that is.
Well, those are your actuaries. They're the people who run the tables for, you know, life insurance policies.
Okay.
You know, they're data scientists, but these usually some of the most boring but precise people in the room.
Okay.
You know?
So COVID-19 mortality working group, confirmation of 20,000 excess deaths for 2022 in Australia. So that's
20,000 excess deaths scattered across all different age groups. Like this wasn't like a few extra old people dying. This was
right.
This is as bad as a war.
I'd say
she's angry that Joe Rogan platform people who aren't part of the people she wants to think of as experts, right?
It's, who is that girl, by the way? Did you find her?
I don't know. I didn't have enough interest to figure it out. honestly, I'm bored with her like right out of the gate. Both of them, actually. So let's see. Were Joe's guesses correct? You know, well, remember, the experts told us that the vaccinated could not spread COVID, and it turned out they could. So that turned out not to be a conspiracy theory, but actually truth that vaccinated can spread COVID.
Right. They said that the vaccinated are susceptible to new variants and reinfection.
That was a conspiracy theory.
Right. It is actually
true. But now that's actually true. True.
Yeah. It was a conspiracy that COVID vaccines can cause blood clots and other side effects. And it turns out that's true. The third and the fourth shot.
They said all you have to get is two shots.
Oh,
and
right.
Then remember, we had a third shot and then a fourth.
Then
I think we're
fourth.
Up to 12 or whatever
something
now.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. New shots every year and a half. That turned out to be BS. Originally, I think,
the conspiracy theorists are saying, oh, yeah, you know, you're going to have to get new shots all the time.
All
and
the time.
They're like, oh, no. Oh, yeah, that turned out to be true.
Yeah. Or shots for young children. Originally, they didn't talk about that, right?
Yep. And conspiracy theorists said, oh, they're going to try and get this into children. Mostly because once they're in the children, then legally that gives them this immunity from liability. So they work very hard to get.
Right. They don't want a control group.
Vaccines or medical treatments. They tried very hard to get them on the children's schedule because it absolves them of liability.
That's
and then,
right.
And then they're off the hook for even the adults they've killed.
That's right.
Yeah.
They don't want a control group. Then anyway, you guys can go ahead and read the rest of it, but it's shocking.
Yeah.
It's shocking how much we were told wasn't going to happen or wasn't true and turned out to be absolutely real and factual.
Well, you know, for me, what's interesting here too, Evie, is that, you know, Australia started out as a penal colony, and I think they're still in a prison of a sort for themselves, right? And this is what the world's largest prison looks like from space, but now it's an intellectual prison. Australia is really unable, like Canada, they've gone really far over the tips of their skis, at least from not everybody, not all
right.
Canadians, not all
right.
Australians, but
sure,
I mean, the
sure.
government and the press and sort of their dominant sort of cultural narrative
right
that's out there is pretty bad.
Yeah, they've definitely gone far to the, I don't know if it's the same, if it's the far left when you're talking about Australia and Canada.
I don't know. So you know, we've been talking about this for a while that there's some kind of this mind virus that can happen.
Yeah.
And when people get the mind virus, one of my theories, my hypothesis has been that it's very damaging, and I think it's irreversible. I call it the Sam Harris syndrome. So Sam Harris, the former intellectual podcaster who's been revealed as having suffering from an extreme case of derangement syndrome. So he's highly intellectual and analytical in one area, but when you bump up into the TDS zone, he's on all the logic circuits fry. And he's unable to get out of that box he's in. And he's just destroyed his whole entire professional life, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. I'll never listen to him again. Because if you're this malignantly malformed in your thinking in one area,
right,
how can I trust any of this stuff over here?
Right.
You know, you're either an open-minded intellectual willing to traverse the territory of thoughts,
right,
or you're not. There's really no, I'm kind of brain dead over here, but really alert.
But not over,
here.
There. Yeah, no, you're right. Especially when your brain is what you're using to make a living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, he totally damaged that. But there could be, you know, Evie, there's the, that thing that says, you know, hard times create good men.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to bring that out again.
Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create liberal white women. Liberal white women create hard times.
You know, there's an argument that could be made for that.
Change
here.
Change my mind. Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, man. So at any rate, you know, the stuff that we had to talk about with these liberal white ladies out of Australia leads right into this now. And so since I'm sort of like, okay, censors, you've had your shot at me, let's just do this now, because this is getting really awkward, really bad,
all right,
Evie, at this point in time. Okay. So this is like literally from this past week. This is all the time now, and we haven't really talked about it, but it's still ongoing. And I want to make sure we bring this kind of front and center here.
Okay. And is this from the Died Suddenly Twitter handle? Or
No, this is from Sherry Madej up there, Resilient333.
So she says, Kath Wharton, 41, New Zealand, a former National Rugby League women's premier star in McDonald's parking lot. I don't know what that means, but that's good.
She was found dead in her car.
Oh, she was found there.
Yeah.
Oh, November 21st, 2024. She tragically, she died suddenly and unexpectedly. And it turns out she died from sudden cardiac arrest while she was taking a nap in Auckland, New Zealand, McDonald's parking lot after a long haul flight from a rugby tournament in Japan. Dr. Kilek Kesha, who conducted the postmortem, said that Wharton had COVID-19 at the time of her death and said that the virus could potentially, quote, unmask an existing cardiac problem.
Yeah, well, Dr. Kilek is just pulling stuff out of her rear end on that one, because that's not a thing, right?
I don't think it is.
But you know that she's almost certainly, because she's from New Zealand, she's vaccinated.
Yeah.
Fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
And so 41-year-old people in the prime of their life and physical condition are not, you know, yeah, heart attacks happened before, but now they happen all the time.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that I don't remember this happening when I was a kid. You
not
didn't
like
find
this.
Out that like 40-year-olds drop dead, you know?
Very rarely. I mean, it did very rarely happen.
Mm-hmm.
Also from Sherry Madej.
Yep. And here's another one. Aislinn Nelson Comerford, 34 years old, from Ireland, died, and she died suddenly and unexpectedly from a sudden pulmonary embolism, leaving behind her devastated husband of just 3 months and her 10-month-old son, who was her pride and joy. Rest in peace, Aislinn. That's awful.
Yeah.
Wow.
34. I mean, again, these things happen, but it's way off the charts now, and we have the data from all these different countries that the number of people who died above what, you know, these are called excess deaths, above what would have been expected, because an expected number of people die. In truth, an expected number of 34-year-olds die of pulmonary embolisms,
but it's
a very small number, right? And
right.
Now the numbers are much smaller, larger than they used to be,
mm-hmm.
and there has to be a reason for that. The thing that's most damning about this is just how officially unexcited the officials are to look into any of this.
Right. They don't want to look at the injections as a source of this at all.
I would bet you anything that if you, with an autopsy, a proper autopsy, or maybe even at the embalming, if you didn't get that done, they would discover that she had those white fibrous clots in there. Right.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Those calamari clots, those are still a thing. But how about this, Evie?
Okay. Sudden deaths, incapacitations soar among COVID-jabbed airline pilots. This is a report about that. Since 2021, deaths of younger airline pilots have risen markedly, long-term disabilities have surged and near-miss incidents at airports have skyrocketed.
Yeah, so I was just recently on a trip with some people, and of five people in this group who were vaccinated, three were reporting vaccine injuries. Three.
Wow.
Men. And so this is a thing. Yeah.
And we've been on a couple of flights where people have had issues too. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Oh yeah. Our last flight, other mm-hmm. medical emergency.
Two.
I don't know what they are.
But yeah.
At any rate, but this is a huge deal. Like near miss incidents at airports, right?
That's so
because
scary.
We had this other report that came out a little while ago that showed that people who'd had a lot of, not everybody, but some people who'd had vaccinations were missing significant portions of their frontal cortex. Like there's actually a brain atrophy, the brain fog, probably from the microclotting, but maybe it's due to the fact that the spike protein itself is just toxic. And, oh, this just came out. I haven't had a chance to pull it up, really read it yet, but Kevin McKiernan and Peter McCullough, Nick Holscher, two other people had a paper that just came out where they did all this genetic testing, like down, they sequenced their DNA and discovered a number of things. First, that in people who are jabbed, their DNA was expressing genes funkily, right? Like funkily, like they were either doing too much or too little compared to what they should be doing compared to baseline.
From an immune perspective?
But also that they found people who had actual parts of the Pfizer vaccine genetic sequence in their DNA.
Like integrated
into the DNA. This is the first
which is not natural.
No.
Or normal.
No.
Like that never happens.
It's not only not baffling, it should not be normalized. And you know, we just have these tragic coincidences. They're just
firefighter from Oregon dies after cardiac emergency while battling Montana wildfire. Firefighters are in pretty good physical shape.
You're a firefighter. Shape. Yeah, they're pretty good shape, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they train typically for those things, so it's kind of shocking.
Yep. Yep. And here, check this one out from Rockstar here.
Rockstar said, I'm noticing the number of medical emergencies at sporting events amongst the crowd. I don't remember that pre-2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rockstar.
Yep.
There's Harry Fisher, I think is his name. It's a gentleman that is a first responder.
He's the EMT, the ambulance guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and he talks a lot about what he sees on his calls, and he makes no bones about it. He talks directly about how he believes it's the result of the jab, and that mm-hmm. he's seen just horrible things.
Yeah.
And the calls that they have to go on and the young people that he's seeing with these issues.
This is the really big thing that we have to talk about that, again, is going to get us in trouble with the censors such
what
as
are you
they
gonna
are,
do?
Is that I truly believe that it's been the solemn duty of doctors and nurses who have patients, who see patients, when they notice outstanding patterns, they're supposed to notice that. How did doctors not notice the number of parents who called in and said, post-well baby visit, my child X, Y, or Z.
Right.
Got
won't
rash,
make eye contact anymore. Yeah.
Won't make eye contact. Suddenly had sudden onset of a neurodevelopmental disorder or was later diagnosed with autism, that the parents mark to within a few hours or a day or two from that visit. Like after one or two of those, after three, you're a doctor, you ought to be going, time out. They didn't do that. They just gaslit these parents.
Why?
Oh, no, it couldn't have been that.
Why is that? They just have so much contempt for their fellow humans.
I don't know.
It blows my mind.
I don't know, but if your doctor isn't able to put two and two together in a simple way like that around that, what else are they bad at? Probably almost everything, all of it. Honestly, it's a good way to fire a doctor is to find out if they're capable of noticing patterns. Because if they can't, that's kind of what doctoring's all about. So just
right.
saying. At any rate, let's go back to the Australia story for a bit, because I have a question. If the vaccinations worked, how come they didn't?
Correct.
Right. So what do we have here? We have all cause and COVID mortality, Australia, all ages, both sexes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here you see, this is the COVID deaths, right? They didn't really have
right.
anything in 2020. They had this little tiny uptick here. Well, not tiny. I mean, this isn't scaled in 5,000 increments, right?
Right.
And then they had this, I don't know why they have this sudden boost here in 22, because we're in Omicron at this point in time.
Right.
That's not even like a thing.
That's right.
Could have been they just decided they were embarrassed by the red line, so they started coding them differently.
Oh,
I don't know. Their data sucks. But here's where the vaccinations start. And wouldn't you know it, about that many months later, they suddenly have this
Look
long sustained uprise in excess mortality that's not COVID related.
That's unbelievable.
How did they not notice? How did the doctors, how did the health authorities not notice that?
I'm baffled.
That is baffling.
I'm baffled by that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They took an oath too. Yep. They took an oath to do no harm.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just gross.
Unfortunately, I think Black Dingo.
We're nowhere near a critical mass of understanding on this. You're probably right.
Unfortunately not.
Black Dingo also said, the guy who runs the local bookstore near me is getting blood clots and effed up his eye. He says the doctors told him COVID made his blood thicker.
It was the COVID. So it's just all the time now.
There's another one. Tragedy as talented dancer Isabella Clark dies suddenly at age just 21.
So 21, that's not really supposed to happen. This just happened a few days ago.
Israel Friday, UP recruit dies at 19. Wow.
19-year-old.
That's unbelievable. And he's an athlete too. So you gotta imagine that he's in pretty good physical shape.
Yep.
You know?
So let's get back to the white liberal women. Here's one, Georgia Clark.
Fully vaxxed. Take that, COVID-19. Remember what freedom felt like? Well, that's what we get if we all get vaccinated. The jab is a ticket to freedom. So come on, jump on that ride.
Well, let's take that ride with her.
So I'm in the hospital after developing rare heart inflammation linked to Pfizer. And even with this side effect, I would get the jab again. Side effects can be treated. Dying from COVID-19 can't. The benefits far outweigh the risks.
Sydney Strong.
Oh, God.
You can't fix this. Whatever this is, remember, so that's the hypothesis we're working with, that whatever that mind conditioning was that says you're a good person if and only if you get the vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. And look, she said, I developed rare heart inflammation. Well, it's not that rare if it happens to you and a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. What's rare? Rare is not a scientific term. Oh, but I'm supporting science, you know? Side effects can be treated. Dying from COVID-19 can't. Yeah, but
not permanent ones.
I hate to tell you this, Georgia. Your chance of dying from that rare heart inflammation is vastly higher than dying from circulating Omicron in her mm-hmm. age and putative health category. However, yeah, right. Now that she does have rare heart inflammation, having another COVID infection is going to actually could be a trigger because she's already got a heart that's now damaged by the spike protein.
Right. And struggling.
So maybe it, you know, at any rate, she got damaged in her first responses to say, I'm still a good Karen. I'm still a centroid seeking lady. Even with this side effect, I would get the jab again. That tells you what a good person I am.
I'm laughing, but I want to cry.
You can see it. This is the mental illness right here. It is. This is a mental condition because
it is.
So let me put it this way. It's a delusion, right? Because when you're delusional, as we've defined here in the past on this show, you have a version of events in your head that don't comport with the reality around you. That's what a delusion is. I'm George Clooney. It's delusional because I'm not, right? You know, so she has a delusion because she's holding to something where you can't comport it with reality. Like the risk-benefit analysis, it doesn't even begin to hold water, but she thinks it does. She's got a very strong opinion. But without any context, right? Mm-hmm. This is actually a delusional stance to take right here. And that means that she is having a break with reality. Okay. I think people can have breaks with reality, Evie. I just don't want them to have any ruling over my life. I don't want this lady or anybody like her in charge of anything where they get to make rules that mm-hmm. I have to live by.
Right. Public health or
all you want mm-hmm. over there. You know?
Exactly. No, exactly right. And those are a lot of the people, I think, unfortunately, that are in positions of power that are trying to shut down free speech. And I mean, there's a lot going on in London right now and in various parts over in Europe where people are rising up. They're sick of stuff. Mm-hmm. They're sick of this BS getting shoved down their throats. I don't know what's going to happen. Have you seen that? Have you seen stuff about that? It's about all the like protests going on right now.
About which, what, there's so many protests. Which ones? You got to be more specific.
Sorry, I don't know. I didn't do a deep dive on it or anything, but I saw that there were people that were protesting like a lot of the migrant situation that has been forced upon them. And
well, that's about to break.
We're all sorts talk of about and the, free speech, basically.
The UK Scottish incident with that getting, little lass, the lassie.
Yeah. Getting arrested for holding a placard that says something that somebody else doesn't like is what I'm trying to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yep. No, it's, well, it's starting to break. That's why, you know, that's why I wanted to do shows like these because we get to do it.
This is bothering me today.
So this just comes up to us from August 24th. I believe this was, Alabama.
Oh, no. Family devastated after Alabama couple dies suddenly 2 days apart.
So he died of a heart attack. Johnny, I don't know what she died of 2 days later. That wasn't in the article. So did they get the same batch? You know?
Wow. That's awful. Johnny and Tammy Schmidhorst. That's awful.
Yeah. Oh. So, but this was just a small sampling. I could literally post, you know, that died suddenly handle over on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They're posting stuff every single day.
They're probably multiple millions times per day, of right? people.
And listen, people die every day. I get that. But these are, it's just athletes, young, you know, normally here's what normally happens. somebody feels really bad. And they start to notice and they go to their doctor and some things happen and then their health doesn't get better. And then they're diagnosed with something and then they spend some time in the hospital. It's like, this is the thing that Harry Fisher guy was saying was, we used to transport people to the hospital where they would later die. It happens, but they're getting these code calls where they're coded out. They get to the home, the person's dead.
Right.
People didn't used to die at home who were 21, 31, 41, you know, 50. They didn't just wake up dead in the bed, you know, and that's a thing now. So that was at least one of the things that they saw that was very different.
Interesting.
And of course, now a lot of people getting really weird and strange diseases. By the way, this I think is going to be, well, unless we're so lost as a nation that we can't even muster up a decent amount of outrage over something that's completely outrageous. Let's listen into this. I found this. That it's even going to happen at all. RFK told us he was going to do this a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Now we're only a few days away from September, so this actually becomes important.
That's great, Bobby. Bobby, autism, if I could just, I don't want to go too long because we have a lot of people, but the autism is such a tremendous horror show, what's happening in our country and some other countries, but mostly our country. How are you doing on that?
We are doing very well. We will have announcements as promised in September. We're finding certain interventions now that are clearly, almost certainly causing autism. And we're going to be able to address those in September.
Mm. It's such a big day. I'm looking forward to that day.
Whoa. He just said,
interventions.
We believe we found certain interventions have been causing autism. Yeah. Interventions, meaning something we've been giving the kids.
Mm-hmm. Something we've been doing. Something not natural.
Yep. Some intervention. It's not like we found some environmental thing. He didn't say we found some possible causes that are multifactorial that you know, exist in the landscape. It wasn't like some inadvertent chemical release. Interventions.
He was very specific with that
word. Very specific with that word. So that's worth sort of calling out there.
Interesting.
Oh, I can only imagine the level of hysteria we're going to have to read from the pharma bots for the next few days on Twitter is going to be just extraordinary.
Over the top. When is that in September that's coming out?
He was vague.
There's something wrong when you see the kind of numbers that you have today versus 20 years ago.
Now, this is interesting because Trump is actually versed on this and he's actually weighing in on it. He's put in his muscle behind this. Remember when Doge was happening, Trump was sort of like, oh, you know, Elon's finding some interesting stuff, but then left Elon to twist in the wind on that. This is Trump leaning in politically. He's putting politics on the line here.
Yeah. And those numbers, what are those numbers, Bob?
Well, in 1970, the biggest epidemiological study in history was done in Wisconsin. They looked at 900,000 children, and they were looking for autism. They knew what it looked like, and they were very, very precise about it, and they found an incident rate of 0.7, in other words, less than one for every 10,000 children. Today, our most recent numbers are one in every 31 kids. It's probably actually much worse than that because California, which has the best collection system, is reporting one out of every 19 children, American children, has autism, one in every 12.5 boys. So it's gone from one, less than one in 10,000 in 1970, to one in 12.5 boys.
Think of those numbers. It's, so there has to be something artificially causing this, meaning
listen to this,
a drug or something. And I know you're looking very strongly at different things, and I hope you can come out with that as soon as possible.
We will.
So one in 10,000, and now it's one in 31 or 34 or 12 if it's a boy. Can you imagine that? One in 12, that's for a boy.
I have every 12.5
boys. It's not even believable that that could be. And that was one in 10,000 not so long ago. Mm. I've been hearing these numbers, that, and they get worse and worse every year. There's got to be something. I think there's nothing, including favored nations and everything else, there's nothing that can be, if you can find out the reason that that's happening. And I know we're gonna do some things. I think we maybe know the reason. And I look forward to that press conference with you on that press conference. That's going to be a great thing. Thank you, Bob. You're doing a great job.
He's having trouble keeping the surprise.
Bobby.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's a really big deal. What we just heard there.
Yeah.
That's Trump throwing his political weight behind it. He's putting the moral dimension on it, saying, wow, I don't care what this is. I don't care if you have most favored nation trade status or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Right. Wink, Pfizer, Merck. Right. So there's a darn good chance we're going to find out this is the aluminum adjuvants that we've known about this for a very long time. It's not the vaccines themselves, meaning the antigens in there. It could be, but most likely it's going to be the fact that we had these other things in those interventions, including the idea that some really demonic individuals slid this schedule in specifically to put as many of these things into babies, literally time of birth, the hepatitis B vaccine, time of birth. You can't get it in too soon. Yeah, you can. You test the mothers. They don't have hepatitis B. You don't give that shot. It does no good. The baby, when it's first born, doesn't even have a functioning immune system.
Right. It can't produce properly antibodies. It just creates inflammation and stress on that individual, right?
Yep.
It taxes everything that they're trying to do, and their little bodies are trying to adjust to being from, in an aqueous environment to breathing air. Like, could we not do this to our children?
Yeah. How about who does that to their children, though?
Really sadistic people.
Very. It speaks to an illness that goes way beyond, some people made some money, mistakes were made.
No, it's really gross. This is damaging.
They did this on purpose. Can we admit that? They did this on purpose. There are people's, and I don't want this to be, the FDA made mistakes. I want to know who at the FDA, they have names. I know some of the names already, but I need these people named. There have to be consequences for this. I'm talking minimum jail time. Lose everything you have financially. I don't care if you stuffed it in an offshore Cayman's account in your third cousin's, name. Everything comes back that you think you have. You get wiped out very publicly. Mm-hmm. Everybody watches that happening. It's called a public hanging, although it doesn't have to involve hanging, but it could. Mm-hmm. You do that publicly so that that person gets punished, but more importantly, that all the other people who are thinking of doing that see that and decide not to do that. We've been punishment free for too long people doing the most heinous evil things ever.
I know. I'm 100%. Kind of afraid to hope, Chris. Like, I was hoping that Trump would be somebody that could administer some of that justice for us, but
yeah,
I don't know if it's going to happen, and I'm afraid to hope that it does.
Yeah,
because I don't want to be disappointed.
Well, this is a really big deal, though. What we just heard here. So in September, they're going to come out with something. I'm 99% sure I know what they're going to come out with. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to find out that they did this on purpose. I guarantee the scrambling is going to begin. Here's what scrambling is going to look like in this. All these former ACIP members, ACIP, which is the Advisory Council on Immunization Practices at the FDA. Mm-hmm. They're famous doctors with pedigrees from Brown and Princeton and Yale. Very prestigious people. They're going to start backing away and saying, we were given bad information. We didn't realize that Merck had queered the results of the Gardasil study so badly. They're going to pretend like you're going to watch that. And that's when you know you're almost close to winning, when the finger pointing starts and they try and throw the other people under the bus.
Right. And they eat their own.
But honestly, they're all culpable because they could have all noticed. The noticing was easy. How do you go from one in 10,000 to one in 12 without noticing? Right. How, as a doctor, do you not notice that there's a correlation between this and the damage that happens in your patients? After like two of those, you'd be like, this is not good. right?
Is it just because you have no spine and you don't have the courage to like stand up and say something different than your colleagues?
At a minimum, you're a spineless POS. At a minimum, spineless.
I couldn't do that to my fellow humans, yeah. I don't think.
Well, that's why, Evie, I put it this way. I think the vaccine cult is actually shot through with pure evil, right? Let me just show you one example of this. Okay. So, Jicky, hey, Jicky, I hope you're watching this. I'll tag you in this when we post this little segment on X. And he's quoting Dr. Biss. You met Dr. Biss at the last IMA meeting. Lovely doctor. Mm-hmm. He writes here, Doc Biss is exactly right. Just one more case in the vaccinated arm. So they were running this vaccine study and they were looking at, they were giving COVID vaccines to pregnant women. And then they were looking at what was, you know, is anything happening? And it turned out that in the vaccinated arm, they had birth defects showing up really badly. They're called adverse events of special interest, ACEs. And they had these ACEs, and if they had had just one more in that column, it would have pushed it into significance territory, and they would have had to say the COVID vaccine shot causes significant elevations in birth defects in pregnant women. So they, you know what they did? They stopped the trial.
Of course they did.
They halted the trial, right?
Spineless.
So let's listen in. Hear from Dr. Biss.
Pfizer did start a randomized controlled trial. They had about 800 pregnant women enrolled. They were going to follow them up to 6 months, and they had to stop the trial and didn't publish the results because if they had had one more fetal anomaly or birth defect, that would have made that statistically significant. So they stopped the trial. So we don't have a long-term trial on pregnant women.
Okay. So we take all the children that have autism, severe autism, we give them guns. We teach them to shoot at targets, and then we put those targets on the people that deserve to have them. This makes me so angry, Chris. I don't know what to do with the level of anger I feel.
Well,
in my body
I'm going
to
go with Rob's suggestion here because he's thinking like a permaculturalist. Every problem has its own solution.
Through wood chippers to fertilize the ground. Amen, Rob. That's a good one. I like that.
I'm going to have to laugh because this is so awful.
It's terrible.
It's so awful.
It's so bad.
It's so awful. Wow. So this was the study here. So I went and I looked at it, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And it's completed, they say now. There's the link if you want to go look it up at clinicaltrials.gov.
Completed.
To evaluate the safety, tolerability, immunogenicity of the BNT162b2 against COVID-19 in healthy pregnant women 18 years of age or older. Nothing in the title to say, and we had to stop it early because too many birth defects were showing up.
Yeah, and how many
and
of
by
those...
the way, they reported 18 separate tables of like, oh, we didn't find too much. I had to dig all the way down to table 19 to find the ACEs. And even then, they didn't even mention what the ACEs were. I had to dig into the supplementary tables. They buried it
really?
As hard as they could.
So what were the ACEs? I'm curious.
These were all kinds of major congenital anomalies and developmental delay from birth to 6 months of age. So they were, how would we say it in the old days?
All right. Take the camera off me. I'm going to cry. This makes me upset.
Sorry. I'll go back.
No, it's okay.
And Jicky ran the numbers. They had 8 versus 2, and that came up with a p-value of 0.0593. Anything below 0.5 has to be reported as statistically significant. And if there had been one more, they would have gotten to a 0.03. They would have had to report that there were significant elevations of birth defects in maternal women as a consequence of this shot. They had the data. You know what they did? They continued to not report on the data. They buried it. They ran this trial back in 2021. We're just seeing the results of it now, right? So they sat on it for years. And the whole time, Pfizer, pediatricians, obstetricians, OBGYNs.
Like, you should get the shot.
It's totally
safe and effective.
Safe for pregnant women. Safe for pregnant women. Okay. This is beyond even just the Pfizer shot. This is just about any shots at all. And this is from a woman who is a NICU nurse. So she works in the neonatal intensive care, and she reported this.
I'm a neonatal intensive care nurse. I'm administering these shots.
Yeah.
And so once that bubble was completely burst for me after understanding this information.
This includes the Hep B shot, right?
It's like, what are we doing here? So we would have our micro-prems, they're 23-week-olds, and we would give them their 60-day shots. And 23 weeks, they're not even full term yet.
Wow.
So they would be, growing, thriving, like doing well in the step down unit, which means they've left the intensive care unit and they're stepped down, and give them their 60-day shots, and immediately just start having, we call them spells, bradycardias, their heart would stop, apneas, they'd stop breathing, and they would need to go back onto invasive breathing support.
Wow.
Whether it was a ventilator or like a CPAP or BiPAP. BiPAP means they're giving breaths through a mask. And I started to question it. I was just like, just labeled this crazy nurse, eye rolling. Like, but we would hand off report after the 12-hour shifts, and we'd be like, baby B, you know, had just had his shots today. So having a lot of spells, like, to be expected. Like, it became the norm.
To be expected.
Vaccines can have this detrimental effect, but it is an accepted normal side effect.
Wow.
How does that become normalized? Like, how did we lose our way to get to this
state? I don't know.
State?
It's been like this for a long time, though, Chris. Like, when my daughter was born 24 years ago, mm-hmm. I went through this crap. I went through being pressured, and she was born early, and I didn't want to give her any of that stuff. And yeah. I got so pressured, and they treated us like crap in the hospital when I said I didn't want to give that to her.
So good news. I no longer trust hospitals at all. Whoever couldn't possibly adjudicate and manage a system where they're noticing, to be expected, baby crashed out. We had him in the step-down unit. We gave him their shots. To be expected, they crashed out. They stopped breathing. Their heart stopped. You know, to be expected. That when I said this is a cult, cult behavior. This is a vaccine cult, and it's evil. There's maybe some good cults, maybe some evil ones. This is an evil cult. Like, this is Jim Jones territory. Okay,
it is actually.
It's what this is.
It is. It's not normal at all. I'm sorry. It makes me feel really emotional. I don't know how we can keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it like today. There were a bunch of babies born, and today there were a bunch of babies that were given this.
Yep.
Just yep. today.
So. I'm going to share a quick story here too, because this is really concerning. So, I'm going to spare names this is a direct contact of mine. His wife has been a teacher for 30 years. And so this year she was wondering what it was going to be like, because this is the so-called year where the first COVID babies show up. 5 years post COVID, we now have the COVID babies showing up, and these are kids who came through COVID with all the masking and whatever else happened. All
like
the
COVID babies, meaning they were born in COVID?
Well, they were babies during COVID, and now they're 5 years old, so they're coming into preschool.
Kindergarten, preschool. Okay.
And as well, you have your people who are in first, second grade are also sort of came through some of the formative period of all that nonsense, right? And she was terrified. She came back to her husband and said, crying, you know, would you be okay if I got fired, because I'm going to have to say some things that may get me fired. And he's like, of course, you know, we'll manage it. And what she noticed was that in the first two grades coming in, which is kindergarten, first grade, I think it was both those, but it might have been just the first one, 50% of the incoming class has neurodevelopmental disorders, autism or something like that, not behaving normally, can't form sentences, can't have eye contact, communicate only with a little swipey tablets, mm-hmm. you know,
can't follow directions,
biting, acting out, all of that stuff. And so the thing she was going to have to get fired about was she was going to have to say, listen, to the 15 to 20% of kids now who aren't on that spectrum at all, they're the ones who have to go off to the special room. When I was in school, there was this little special room, and there was a few kids with developmental stuff down there, but it was very few, like that one in 10,000. It was very few. Now it's going to have to be reversed. We're going to have to take the kids who aren't damaged and give them a special place so that their development and growth isn't stunted by having to sort of tune themselves down to the norm of the room, which is way below average. That's problem one. Problem two, she was in tears because she was thinking to herself, these are the people who are going to be running my town in 10, 20 years, right? Like, our country has been destroyed. Its future has been we've destroyed
the our future. Yeah.
Of our country. And so I have to ask again, this is a hypothesis I've had for a while. Did that happen by accident? Because I can point some fingers at people where I can show you that this has been happening intentionally. There are people who did this on purpose, knowing that's what they were doing. We don't have a border. We've been invaded with different cultures. We don't have a strategic petroleum reserve anymore. We have the sense of nuclear family has been broken down. We give more money to illegal migrants than to hardworking Americans. When there's a disaster, somehow help never shows up. When we have to bomb people, it's instantly there. You know, when you look at the whole pattern of all of this, it's very clear that taken together, our country is being destroyed from within. And I think it's intentional. And I think that there's sets of penalties that need to be applied, or that's going to keep happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Wow. That's a powerful story.
So, but speaking of noticing, Evie, you know, mm-hmm. this is the kind of stuff I notice. Start line one.
Mississippi boasts the highest childhood vaccination rate in the U.S.
Okay, you could notice that. All right. Highest vaccination rate in the U.S. And
they also have the highest rate of infant death.
Now, I'm no expert. I'm no medical expert. But if the vaccines worked,
that would be reversed.
You wouldn't have those two sentences following
each other. That's right. And now they're declaring a public health emergency over this rising infant death issue. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, blowing a horn, although they probably aren't connecting the two either. It's the one thing they won't look at. They'll say, oh, it's something else.
I know. We don't know what's causing it, but
we need more money for medical care.
That one thing, since we already know it's not that one thing. Okay.
Everybody knows.
Right. Right. Anyway. This is easy stuff to notice. That's how I do what I do in the world. I just notice these things. That's it. That's like, how did I get COVID so right? I can smell the BS, but also I just notice stuff. What, this one?
Yeah. Some random dude said, Evie, cheer up. You've got one of the smartest cavemen in the cave. Absolutely. I feel so blessed for that. But I also have a big open heart and I feel the pain of this world. I can't help it. And I feel like it's not just about what I have. It's about what we all share together. Mm. And we all are going to have to shoulder this. Like, all these kids are going to need care. Think about the children in that study that ended up with birth defects. Think about those families that are destroyed. Think about the finances of those families. Like, if you're struggling in your life trying to make ends meet, imagine trying to provide for a kid with special needs and all that extra care. Mm-hmm. And being stressed out of your mind and having your own medical issues because you're so stressed out. Like, it just goes on and on. I'm not unhappy about my life. I love my husband and I'm happily married and I love our life here on the farm. But I feel for our world and I want it to be different.
Speaking of our world and wanting it to be different and having it be under attack, I think something big just happened in the UK. Are you familiar with this? Mm-mm. You know what we're talking about here?
No.
So this is a 12-year-old girl. She's got obviously a hatchet and a kitchen knife and a blade. Here's the incident. Okay. She's 12. She's protecting herself and her sister from a grown ass migrant rapist guy.
Help, you old man!
Yes, you have a knife.
Help, you don't. Hey, I'm fucking perfect. You fucking body can't.
Why are you fucking with us?
These are fucking kid bashers.
Show the knife. Show the knife.
Don't touch her.
That's it.
So she's been getting followed and harassed, and there's this, you know, there's this migrant guy. Listen, it's a very big problem over there. And by the way, The guy who's got to be the most shamed Scot in the world. How do you look at this guy? How do you just walk past that and not like man up and involve yourself in that? But you're right. So the migrant is saying, show the knife, because he knows that she's going to likely get in more trouble for that than he would, because the whole system is just absolutely upside down and totally broken over there. But that's that's the incident. So that's the incident.
Wow.
She's harassed so badly and so routinely that she's decided, and nobody's coming to her aid whatsoever, not including that random, like, weak-ass beta boy that just walked by.
Yeah, right.
That she feels that she has to, her best effort here is to arm up and go tough, right? Mm-hmm. So, as you might expect, this is what happened.
Breaking news, the little girl who defended herself and her sister from a migrant in Scotland has been arrested and charged by the police. I have no words for how awful the UK is right now.
And I don't think this is happening accidentally. They're under attack too, but they almost lost the battle entirely. The entire battle. And by the way, you can't possibly despise the press enough, right? As much as you think you do, it's not enough. They have a picture in this article, that little circle we just saw there. And look how they characterize this.
A 14-year-old girl has been charged after allegedly being caught with a bladed weapon in Dundee. Police were called to St. Anne Lane just off Cooper Angus Road in Loki shortly after 7:30 on Saturday. It followed reports of a girl having a bladed weapon. Several police cars were sent to the scene at the Balgay Street car park following the report. A Police Scotland spokesperson told the Evening Telegraph, around 7:40 p.m. on Saturday, we received a report of a female youth with a bladed weapon in St. Anne Lane, Dundee. Officers attended. A 14-year-old girl was charged in connection. She will be reported to the relevant authorities.
No context. Nothing.
They don't
about,
say anything about
nothing
him.
About why, right?
That's so awful.
Yeah, because that's their whole job. Their whole job now is to just defend the migrants and to make it look like if you try and protect yourself in any way, shape, or form, you're not allowed to do that. Mm. You're not allowed to protect yourself.
I think everybody should walk around with kitchen knives done. Let's just make it normal, and then they can arrest everybody.
Here's the thing, though. All the time now, they have things where the, they're literally machete fights all over London, and they have them in the parks, and they run around, and they don't get in trouble for that. But, 12-year-old, 14-year-old girl, however old, is trying to protect herself. Now they get in trouble. So that I'll put that in context for y'all in just a second. What's up?
I like what Brandon Smith said. UK is the end result of selling your country to the highest birth rate.
Well, that's part of it. It's going there. Now, let's just talk about it could be different. Mm-hmm. It could be different. Like this.
No charges for Texas father who beat to death daughter's molester. Grand jury won't indict Texas father who beat to death daughter's molester.
Maybe he went too far, but let it go. Right. I totally understand. Right? I do. I get it. We're getting down to that vigilante justice moment. Right?
Yeah, we kind of are.
When your so-called authorities insist you can't defend yourself, but they also don't protect you.
Mm-hmm.
You get to a breakdown point.
That's when you do it. Yep.
That's when you just have to take matters into your own hand. Eventually you just snap and you go, well, if you're not gonna, I will.
Right.
And off we go. Right.
Yep.
So
I'd do it.
This is more context for that. Apparently it was this guy and that, I think it was this guy and that woman. I'm not 100% positive, but
by the way, did I see that name right? Is that how you say it? Or Lochi? I don't know.
Lochi? Lochi. I don't know.
My daughter's friend, who is 13 years old, just got attacked by these two people in Lochi. They were trying to chat up this girl's 12-year-old wee sister, so she told them to leave her alone, and these two jumped on her. My daughter was with her and called the police. Her friend is 13 years old and in hospital now. These people now with police, but also now conveniently can't speak English anymore. They sure could talk English when they were effing perving on a 12-year-old girl.
So she's just putting up with this, and then finally snapped, right? And we got immediately to like the the memes have been like fast and furious, right? You know,
goodness,
just immediately iconic, with the torn knee. I love that. But this is not, I think it's an easy choice here, but it's one that should never have to be made.
No.
Obviously,
our poor girls. Why are they having to go through this?
Oh, because the people in charge have not just failed them, but they have traitorously abandoned and betrayed their own people.
I know they have. I wish I could take those leaders and take their children and put them in that situation.
Well,
without any defense. Like, sorry, I'm getting angry.
And there was a case recently, just earlier, last week, I think.
Oh, wow.
Holland, where this girl, she's calling cops, she's being followed, she's stabbed to death and raped by this guy who had just raped some woman days earlier, but was let go. Right. So this is like a big thing over there right now. People just don't feel safe because they're not safe. They're not safe at all. Right. So I like how Dr. Mike put it here. Is this their Tiananmen Square moment?
Right. It might be.
It might be.
Wow.
So the thing is, Evie, though, this has been absolutely characterized by, remember, there's those people in the past who, like George Orwell, or, they tell you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, yeah. So when you see it, you know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote about this exact dynamic that we're seeing play out right here back in Gulag Archipelago back in the 70s.
Did he?
Yeah.
quote, your punishment.
Your punishment.
Your punishment for having a knife when they searched you would be very different from the thief's. For him to have a knife was mere misbehavior, tradition. He didn't know any better. But for you to have one was terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The gulag.
So written from the depths of the Soviet Union, which was a communist enterprise.
Huh. So it's I think we're heading back there or something. Well, it's really weird.
Somebody did us a favor and put a little compare and contrast between Keir Starmer and Joseph Stalin.
Whoa. They both have persecution of farmers.
Yep.
They both jail political dissidents.
Yep.
They both remove free speech.
Yep.
They both have political show trials, mm-hmm. high taxes, mm. forcing citizens to freeze. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
Not having enough energy, can't afford the electricity.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, freeze.
Freeze, literally. Yep. Okay. Freeze. State corruption. I was thinking like bank accounts. Biased state media, creation of thought crimes.
Thought crimes, prayer crimes too.
Exactly. They both cover up murders and they both were in favor of forced migration.
Yeah, very little different. So this is why it's so important to me for us to talk about this, because they always start with the island nations and they experiment, right? Remember when we had our first bail-in of the banking system, they didn't do it to like Citibank on the US mainland. They tried it out in Cyprus, an island nation, right? Because they thought they could sort of experiment with it there. I think that some of the first most excruciating experiments with mass surveillance and all that's in Great Britain, right? And they in Australia, like all they just go to these smaller places to try their stuff out. So they're trying, like, will people put up with
COVID? They did that
with this, right? COVID, same thing.
They did that.
Yeah,
the lockdowns were severe. They were like beating people for daring to be outside.
Australia police are some of the worst. Oof. They smashed people, beat people. Remember that one where he's choking the girl out, right? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, their leaders were all like having barbecues
and parties, and
going to French restaurants here in California. Like, obviously, different rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of that. But we're clearly, this whole thing isn't just an ism. It isn't, these aren't just some misguided white liberal women. What we have
that's
is a full blown Marxist sort of an ideology, a communism. That's the direction we're going if we're not careful. And by the time you get there, it's very hard to do anything about it because the cameras are all up. The court systems are all invaded completely with corrupt judges and mm-hmm. or ideologically.
Right. And you have to wait for a V for Vendetta moment that you could actually penetrate that and take it down from some direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be so much harder.
Yeah. Rob. Yeah. Cameras everywhere now. It's just horrible. And of course, no, you're right. You cannot vote your way
out of tyranny.
Out of tyranny. You just can't.
Okay.
How about this? Stephen Crowder.
Stephen Crowder says a few facts about the UK that are indisputable. Foreigners are 71% more likely to commit sex crimes than native Britons. Wow, that's a big number. Afghans and Eritreans specifically are 20 times more likely to commit sex crimes. Since 2002, the amount of rapes in England and Wales has increased from 12,295 to 71,677, which is a 482% increase. But sure, keep importing third worlders that hate your culture.
But that's the point of the whole thing. So think about that. 71,000, right? From 12,000 to 71,000. And if only there was some way to predict this, because it turns out it's by category. It's been all broken out. This is from a place called Restore Britain.
Oh, wow.
It's very hard to read these. I'm sure you could, but I sort of blew these up so you can see what these top ones are. I would say if you could just get rid of the Afghanistanis, the Eritreans, and the Namibians, you're well on your way to having a better culture. Like,
right,
this isn't that hard, right? Like, oh, they're migrants. No.
No, it's certain ones.
They vary tremendously, but they've exclusively been at bringing people in from the top of this category. Now, who's doing that and why? Again, it's not organic. There are people behind this.
Mm-hmm.
They have names, you know.
They want you to suffer. They
George
want me
Soros
to suffer.
Big fan of all this stuff. He believes in open borders for you, not him, obviously.
No, he doesn't have to deal with that.
He wouldn't have any Afghanis and Eritreans in his household.
No.
You know, no. It's not how this works.
Wow, that's so awful.
But they present it as if, oh, is it like, oh, well, you know, it's migrants. No. It varies.
It's
if sexual assault is the thing you're going to score on.
Right.
We have some knowledge about this now.
This is really interesting. That takes it from just being, you know, a generalization to something more specific.
Yeah. And by the way, all the way at the very bottom, that's your native
United Kingdom. Yeah, there it is.
Your native UK or down there.
Wow.
You know, because I've heard people say this stuff like, oh, well, you know, yes, but, you know, rapes are also committed by UK people. It's like, yeah, in a context-free white liberal lady world, you know, you can get away with that statement. But if you would like context, there's obviously, if you had proper policing, you would have the people, the top 20 categories on there under surveillance. You'd be watching them like hawks, right? And by the way, a really big thing is also breaking. I didn't have time to bring it in, but they just had a lot of commissions in the UK. And it turned out that, as we knew, there were the grooming gangs. And that, in fact, the police and also high commissioners in the country knew and enabled that there were these Pakistanis who were running foster homes and other sort of things.
I heard about
where
that.
Where they were just cycling in white girls, right? You know, teenagers. And
runaways and people that were in trouble.
Yeah, and raping them, right? And they'd known about it for years. And so there was this gentleman, an MP over there, who said, listen, here's my stance. If you did that, you get deported. But if you were the wife of the guy and you knew it was happening, you're gone too. And if you were the family next door and you knew about it, you're gone. He's like, anybody who knew about it, let's just get him out. And Nigel Farage, who I used to like, he was just like, oh, that's the most racist, horrible thing I've ever heard. But I'm like, no, that's terribly sensible. You have people who know about serious, that you aiding and abetting is an actual crime.
It is a crime, at least in this country. I don't know about over there.
Yeah,
but
if you know about a serious crime being committed next door, you have a duty to report.
Right. If you do nothing, that's
So I think it's fair to say, yeah, if these people knew about it, it's part of their culture and they did nothing and they said nothing. Bye.
That would end if you started to arrest people and do things like that and deport them if they knew.
Yeah. Well, and you saw, of course, that guy who spoke perfectly good English when they picked him up. You know, he suddenly couldn't speak English anymore. He knows how to play the system. He's saying, show the blade, because he knows she's going to get in trouble for it.
Yeah, and people are videoing it, and he knows that they have no evidence of what he was doing before that precipitated that.
So they're playing the system. They're being played for fools, right? But why do the fools in charge continue to do this?
Well, why are the fools in charge still alive is the question I have.
Well, that's a good question, too. I do not know.
Not to be stoking stochastic terrorism or whatever, but it bothers me. I just don't think they should be in positions of power at the very least.
No. I agree.
Or their children or families.
Yeah. Well, Evie.
Wow.
That's quite the thing. The reason for me bringing all this up is because if we're not careful, if we don't start fighting in some more realistic way around this, this is the direction we're headed right now, too, here in the United States. So it was very gratifying to see that Trump is finally going to do something with Bobby about autism. That's fantastic. I'm really glad that there are certain things happening that make a lot of sense under the Trump administration. I'm not happy that for some reason we have the same problem here in the United States of holding high-level sexual child molesters and predators to account. Right. All the Epstein files, all this and that. Right. It's completely obvious. Bill Clinton 26 times on Lolita Express. Come on. We all know what's going on here. And the fact that we can't seem to hold people above a certain level accountable means that we have two classes in America. You have the protected class and the unprotected class. That little girl with the knife and the hatchet, she's part of UK's unprotected class. All those upper crusty Britons saying that they have to put up with this stuff and you should like be less racist as you're being raped. They also are in the protected class. So that's when I say we need a breakdown here, we have to break that ceiling. There can't be a protected class anymore because power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. But people without consequences, I think, are a whole layer worse than that.
Oh, God, yeah. It seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And there are still dark parking lots out there. I mean, they should be thinking about this. Like, there are consequences. At the end of our lives, we obviously all have to make peace with who we were and what we did and the decisions we made with what, you know, what we had available to us. So they're going to have to face the music someday anyway. But
well, I'd like to think there's some sort of divine consequences for them. And
I hope
that
so.
Gives me some comfort. But I wish there were some more human consequences.
I wish so,
because without
too.
Them, would you, if there aren't consequences, you're going to get more of it. Right. The people who hid the trial data that the vaccines were actually causing harms. Right. They all need to minimally lose their jobs, lose all their money defending mm-hmm. themselves, and spend some time in prison. Mm-hmm.
And never be allowed in public office ever again.
Right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if doubt out here in the unprotected class, if you get, if some guy starts attacking you in a bar and you one punch him and he hits his head and he dies, you're going to be charged with manslaughter, right? Mm-hmm. In most jurisdictions, it's going to happen mm-hmm. because you can't have that level of violence just exist out there, right? But if somebody hides a little data and kills 10,000 people and we shrug, that's ridiculous. Right. That's just silly. So if I was ever going to run for president, one plank, you could ask me any question, I'd come back to my plank. Consequences. They're not just for little people anymore. That would be my whole platform. No, I truly believe that. It's Charlie Munger's right-hand man. Mm-hmm. The right-hand man of Warren Buffett. He said, mm-hmm. you show me the incentive, I'll show you the outcome.
That's right.
The flip of that is you show me the disincentive, and I'll show you the outcome.
That's right.
Right. You need mm-hmm. the consequence there as
you
well.
You do. You do. It's just like everything in life. It needs boundaries and mm-hmm. healthy sort of fences that help people understand what they can and can't do. Everybody's happier that way.
Yep.
It's true.
All right. As a very quick reminder, everybody, before Evie lands this plane, we are going to be putting this show on a hiatus for a period of time. If you want to find out what I'm still thinking or what we're up to, come to Peak Prosperity. But I have to get more of my time back so I can work on the resilience roadmap and spend more time developing content mm-hmm. for my subscribers at Peak Prosperity, because that's the arc of things right now, because things are about to get spicy out there in the world, mm-hmm. economically and otherwise. So please attend to your own resilience as best you can.
Yeah. And come find us if you have any questions or if you need support. Our tribe is full of wonderful, knowledgeable people who have a lot of experience creating resilience in their own lives and are busy doing those things. So come over for some conversations or friendship or whatever you need. We wish you the best. The piece I wanted to read today is an excerpt that Rainier Maria Rilke. Wrote, and it's just an excerpt from a piece of his writing. He said, "Perhaps all the dragons in our lives are princesses who are only waiting to see us act just once with beauty and courage. Perhaps everything that frightens us is, in its deepest essence, something helpless that wants our love."
And thank you, everyone, for being here with us today. See you around and become resilient, please. Anything you can do to that.